Okay, good afternoon slash evening, everybody. Today, tomorrow's daf, Bezer Shem, is going to be Gittin Daf Nun Hey. We will pick up from the Mishnah, four lines from the top of Daf Nun Hey, Omer Aleph. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha LeHashalom, also by Ken and Marcy Kapel, in commemoration of the second yahrzeit of Ken's father, Israel Kapel, a survivor who, while hiding during World War II in an attic in Brussels for 2 years before he was caught, found hope by learning the Navi Yeshayahu, which he memorized in its entirety and could still repeat parts of it by heart well into his 90s. Yisrael ben Yaakov Emanuel is neshama, should have an aliyah. And also by the Shulman family for the yahrzeit of Mr. Charles Kaplan, Yecheskel ben Shalom Aaron HaKohen, the neshama should have an aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today, starting with the Mishnah, we're going to go through four different halachos that were taught by Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgida. And then the Gemara is going to discuss that during that we're going to derive from the first halacha that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgida taught, that giving a woman a get while telling her that it's a shtar chov, it's like, hey, here, take the shtar chov, and it turns out to be a get, that works because you don't need the das of the isha at all. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that a katana who's married to a kohen can eat truma, whereas a chareshes is not allowed to eat truma. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what is the Dinta Oraisa about a Chatos Gezula, and why did the Rabbanan make a Takana contrary to that Dinta Oraisa. So we're going to have two opinions, whether Chatos Gezula really works on a Doraisa level, and in certain circumstances the Rabbanan made a Takana that it shouldn't, or the other way around, that it really does not work on a Doraisa level, and the Rabbanan made a Takana in certain circumstances that it should. The Gemara is going to bring three Rayas to try to figure out which of those opinions is correct. And right before the Mishnah on Amud Beis, we're going to have a discussion whether the ownership that the Rabbanan were misaking for a stolen animal that you were then Mekadesh begins when you stole it, or does it begin when you are Mekadesh it, when you're Makdish that animal. And the Gemara is going to discuss what the Nafkamina would be as far as when your ownership begins on a Rabbanan level. Then, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to hit the Mishnah on Nun Hei Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to talk about the din of buying land from Sikrikon, or from a married woman. Sikrikon were these government officials who would confiscate things, so we're going to discuss whether your purchase is a valid purchase if you bought land from the Sikrikon, who likely confiscated that land from other people. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the history of the Sikrikon and its impact on Halacha. How that history impacts the Halacha. And then after that, we're going to begin the Chorban Agadatas Be'ezras Hashem, but we are not there yet. That will Be'ez Hashem get into tomorrow. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, four different halachos that Yochanan ben Gudgida was made about, and some of them are Takanus Chachamim, and that's why this is in this perek, because this perek is a whole bunch of Mishnayos about a variety of Takanus Chachamim. So, hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgida la Chareshes she'isiyavia, he was made about a Chareshes who's not a Bas Das, whose father married her off while she was a Katana, and the Kiddusha is Chal Minat Torah, because the father is able to give his Katana daughter, who's not a Bas Das, away for Kiddushin, she yot of a get, that she could be divorced with a get, because every get happens with the ratzon of the Baal, and you don't need the ratzon of the Isha. So Mela Chareshes, who doesn't have any das, is able to be miscarriage, because it's not necessary that she should have any das. It's interesting, since it starts with the lashon of Hayid, this Mishnah is obviously a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Eduyos as well, because that's how the Mishnayos and Eduyos appear. However, there's a slight variation. Over there it's Rabbi Nuchunya ben Gudgida, not Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgida. So just a variation. Now in the Maseches Yevamos and Daf Kuf Yud Beis on Beis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees with this first halacha in our Mishnah and holds that you're not able to be Megari Shechareshes, just like you can't be Megari Sheshota. And the Gemara explains, because the Pasuk says Vishilcha mi beso, so it has to be that she's Meshalchaveinu Chozeres, that when you divorce her, the only way a divorce could work is if she has enough das to know that it's over, that she's not supposed to come back home that night. She shouldn't think, oh, okay, so we got into a little fight, but I'm still married, I'm still going to come home that night. Someone who has very little das might just come home that night. She may not even realize that there's finality to the divorce, and therefore the get is not going to be chal. So that's how the Gemara in Yevamos tells us is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So how does Rabbi Yochanan in our Mishnah understand that? After all, isn't she a lav bas das? Isn't she just like a shota who's going to be chazeres? So the Rishonim explain, the Tosrid and the Ritva explain that a chareshes is not as low functioning as a shota. A shota is a very, very low functioning person, and therefore might be chazeres. She's not going to know to not come back. Whereas a chareshes will probably know that she's not supposed to come back. And maybe that's goof of the machlokas tanoim. What level of das a chareshes has? Will she know enough not to return? So that is one halacha in the Mishnah. Second halacha in the Mishnah tells us about val katana bas Yisrael shenises lekohen, that if you have a katana who does not have a father, who marries a kohen midrabanan, because if she's a katana, the only way she can get married is either her father gives her over for kiddushin, or the kiddushin only happens on a drabanan level, shachalz betruma, that she's able to eat truma midrabanan, the imesa, and if that katana dies, even though min hatorah, her relatives should yarshin her, bala yarsha, her husband, who's only married to her on a drabanan level, will yarshin her. A third halacha, v'ala marish hagazel, if you steal a beam, shabna'u babira, and then you build it into a structure, you build a house, and that beam is somewhere in that house, in that building, so normally the halacha is when you steal something, v'heshavas agzela shagazel, you're supposed to return the very item that you stole. But over here, the halacha is a takana, sheyitol esdamav, mipnei takanas hashavim, that you only have to return the value, you write a check for the value of the beam, rather than ripping apart the whole house and returning the actual physical beam itself, in order to make it easier for people to do tshuva. If a person stole something and they're going to have to rip apart their entire house in order to do tshuva, no one's going to want to do tshuva and return that which they stole. But if all they have to do is write a check for the value of the beam, that's more likely that one will do tshuva. And the fourth and final halacha in the Mishnah, v'al chatas ha-gzula, if a person stole an animal to use for a carbon chatas, shalono del rabim, and people didn't realize that it was stolen. The rabbim didn't know that it was stolen, and you were makdish it for a karban, shehim echaperes. It's going to work, it's going to provide a kapara, and the owner of that chatas does not need to bring a replacement chatas, and that's mipnei tikkun ha-mizbeach, and that's to benefit the mizbeach, and we'll discuss in what way this takana benefits the mizbeach. Now there is a discussion, what does it mean, yadua l'rabim, that shalom noda l'rabim, that it wasn't known by the rabbim. Who's the rabbim? How many is the rabbim? So the Yerushalmi has a machlokas about this. Reish Lakish holds rabbim means shlosha b'nei adam. They have three people knowing about it. That's already considered a rabbim, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds that no, rabbim means it's a davar shebagalui. It's just something that's bavust. Everybody knows about it. It's just something that, and Tosyantiv explains, it means that hakol ofira osei nehadayanim, that the dayanim have to assess whether this is something that's a known thing or not. But it sounds like three people, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would not nearly be enough people to be considered noda l'rabim. So those are the four dinim. So again, the first din about a chareshes who was married off by her father, that she can receive a normal get. A second din that a katana who's married midrabanan eats truma midrabanan, and when she dies, her husband yarshins her. Third din that if you steal a beam, you can return the money instead of the beam. And the fourth din that if you have a stolen chatos, that people are unaware that it is stolen, it will serve to be mechaper for the bailim. Now says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Meidusas Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, from the first halach of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, that even when you have a case of a real kiddushin midoraisa, you don't need the woman's das in order to get divorced, right? That was the first halacha, that the chareshes was given over to kiddushin by her father, so that's a real kiddushin midoraisa, and yet she can receive a get, even though she doesn't have any das, so you see that the get could happen even without any das of the isha. So from there I learned, says Rava, that Amar le'edim ru get zesh ani nosin la, that if you take a get and you go over to Edim and say, look, you see, this is a get, I'm about to give it to my wife, and then v'chazav Amar la, and then you go to the woman and you say, kitzi shtar chov zeh, here, take the shtar chov. So I raise a mugreshes. She thinks when she's receiving it, it's a shtar chov, she doesn't realize it's a get. Mugreshes, you're divorced. Milo Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada lo bi'inan daita, hachanani lo bi'inan daita. Just like Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada said in our Mishnah, that a chareshes can get divorced, so you see that you don't need the das of the isha to be divorced, so too, to get divorced, so too, when it comes to a woman who's a perfect Bas Das, but she has no idea that there is a get being delivered to her, so that also is going to be a valid get. So says Mar Pshita, obviously, you know, that adds up, meaning it's mamish, a repeat of the exact halacha in the Mishnah, that you don't need Das of the Isha. What did Rava add by making a case of a woman who's a Bas Das, who just doesn't have any Das of the get in this case? So says Mar Nomau, the Tema, Kibun Damar Kinsi Shtar Chov Zeh, Bitule Batle. I might have thought that in the case where when you give it to her, you're telling her, here, take this shtar chov, that is your bitul get. You're being mevatel that get and saying that you don't want to be megarish with it. So kamash milan, emisa debatle veidem avar melahu. That's why it comes to tell me that, no, if you really wanted to be mevatel the get, you would have told the edim that you're being mevatel the get. You didn't. So behind the kamara, mishum kisufa, the only reason you're telling the woman, kinsi shtar chov zeh, is because you're embarrassed to be giving her a get. So that's why you're saying kinsi shtar chov zeh, and therefore, it's the same halacha as our Mishnah that Yutaka are divorced. The Rashba raises the question, but Lechora, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, the Chiddush of Rava is that even though you called it a Shtar Chov, it's still a valid get. Now that Chiddush does not follow from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada made no mention of anything like that, meaning maybe it's too much of a Chiddush now, because Rava said, oh, I learned from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada this halacha. According to what we're saying now, you can't learn that from Rabbi Yochanan Gudgada. Rabbi Yochanan Gudgada spoke about where you just give a regular get and you didn't call it anything else. So how can you derive from there that if you call it a shtar chov, that you're not being mevatel the get? So the Rashba explains that really Rava's chiddush is not derived from Rabbi Yochanan in our Mishnah. The chiddush of Rava that the get is that the get is not batel when you call it a shtar chov. But one might have said, okay, I hear that chiddush, but still, don't you need the das of the isha? So that's what Rava saying, and don't worry about the das of the isha, because that much we could learn from Rabbi Yochanan, that you don't need the das of the isha. I'm adding to the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan by saying that even if you called it a shtar chov, it's still a get. Rabbi Yochanan made no mention of that. That's my addition, says Rava, but at least don't worry about the fact that she has no das, because that you could derive directly from Rabbi Yochanan and Gudgada. And then the second halacha in the Mishnah, we said, Val Katana Bas Yisrael, that if you have a Katana Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kohen on a Derabbanan level, that she's able to eat Truma. So the Gemara is being medayik that Rabbi Yochanan Gudgada's first halacha was about a chareshes that was married. And now we're talking about a katana that's married. So why does it switch to a katana? Vilu chareshes lo achla, because the implication is that if it were a chareshes that got married to a kohen, then she would not be allowed to eat truma. My timer, why wouldn't the chareshes who's married midrabanan not be allowed to eat truma midrabanan? Gzeira shamiyachil cheresh b'chareshes, because of a gzeira that if you allow the chareshes who's married to a kohen who's a pekeach to eat truma, then a chareshes that's married to a kohen who's a cheresh might eat truma as well, even though they're only married on a drabana level. So says Gemara, v'leichel, so what? What's the big deal? So if a chareshes is married to a kohen who's a cheresh, what would be so terrible if he gives her some truma? Katan ochel nevelesu. After all, it's only like a katan that's eating something forbidden, where the halacha is, the Gemara Nivam is kofi yudalid, that ain beza mitzvah nafrisho. It's not our problem to stop them from eating such things. So let the woman eat truma, even truma midaraisa. So says Gemara, gzeira shemiyachil cheresh bipi kachas. We have to be gozer that maybe a kohen, if you allow a kohen cheresh to feed his chareshes wife truma, then a kohen cheresh might feed his pikachas wife truma, and she's chayiv in mitzvos. And so since her kiddushin is only kiddushin midrabanan, she's not really allowed to eat truma. So the rabbanan made a gzeira that even when a pikeach marries a chareshes, she's also not allowed to eat truma. Meaning the whole gzeira was because of the fear that a cheresh will be married to a pikachas and eat truma. Therefore, even when a pikeach is married to a chareshes, she's not allowed to eat truma. So ask the Gemara, but even if it was a pikachas married to a cheresh, v'lechol b'truma midrabanan, let her eat truma drabanan. The kiddushin is chal midrabanan, so why can't she eat truma drabanan? We can't allow her to eat truma d'rabanan because she might come to also eat truma d'oraisa. And that would be yasser. So a katana that's married to a gadol is allowed to eat truma, like our Mishnah says, because there's no makom to make a gezeira lest it be a katan that's married to a gadola, because that would never happen. Rashi points out a katan is not able to have marriage, even on a drabban level. There's no institution of marriage for a katan, so we don't need to make any such gezeira. Okay, then we move on to the next din. We said the third din in our Mishnah was that if you steal a beam and you build it into a house, and when you want to do tshuva, you can just pay back the value of the beam. You don't have to rip apart your entire house. So Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, Gazal Marish, if a person steals a beam, Upno Ubabira, and he builds it into his house, you got to rip apart the entire house, the entire building, and return the actual beam to its owner. And Beisil says, nah, you just have to give back the value of the beam, and that's the takanas hashavim. That's all you need to do to make it easier for a person to do tshuva. Now we move on to the fourth and final halacha that we had in the Mishnah. Val chatas agzula. We said that if you have a stolen carbon chatas that people were unaware that it was stolen, it's going to be mechaper, and the reason it's mechaper is because of tikkun hamizbeach. So the Gemara says, okay, what would the din have been mita oraisa if you have a stolen carbon chatas? Does it work mita oraisa? And the Rabbanan just made a takana that if people know about it, it shouldn't work? Or does it not work mita oraisa? And the Rabbanan made a takana that if nobody knows about it, that it does work. So what's the default, and which case were the Rabbanan misakin on? So two deos. Amar ula, dvar Torah, bein noda, bein lo noda, ein a mechaperis. On a daraisa level, it does not work. It is not mechaper. Whether you knew about it, whether you didn't know about it, it's not mechaper. My time, why is it that it's not mechaper? Because yeish kedi lo kani. The fact that there was yeush without any sort of shina rishus after the yeush does not make the behema yours, and therefore you're not able to bring it as a carbon. It's not going to work. Ay, matam omru lo no de mechaperes. Why then did they make a takana that if the rabbim are unaware of it, then it will be mechaper? Shloyu kohanim atzavim, because we don't want the kohanim to be sad that they ate chulin that was shechted ba'azara, which is aser. I mean, the kohanim didn't know any better. If on a daraisa level, if we were to keep the din daraisa that this is not mechaper, they might find out too late. No one knew about it. So the guy's going to bring a stolen karmel chatas. Kohanim are going to eat it. It's kachi kachim. The kohanim are going to eat it in the azara, and then they're going to find out that what they were eating was chulin ba'azara, and that's going to really depress the Kohanim. So they had to institute, but you know what? It works. It counts as a carbon chatas. So the Rabbanan said to Ula, it's a wonderful reason, but that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that the reason that it works is because of tikkun hamizbeach. It didn't say the reason it works is so that Kohanim won't be sad. That doesn't sound at all like the same thing. Tikkun hamizbeach and Kohanim being sad don't sound like the same thing at all. So Ula explained, kivan the Kohanim at saving, if the Kohanim are going to be sad because they ate what turned out to be chulin ba'azara, nimtzon mizbeach batel, they're going to be very hesitant to do avoda again in the future. They're not going to want to bring more karbanos, because look what happened last time. I ended up violating an isra of chulin ba'azara, and then the mizbeach is going to be batel. So it's a tikkun mizbeach to make sure that the mizbeach will stay busy, to ensure that the mizbeach will stay busy. We make it that the Kohanim will not be eating chulin ba'azara, and therefore the Rabbanan decided that this carbon chatos is going to work. And therefore the mischaper, the guy who gets the kapar, does not need to bring another carbon. Now all the Rishonim are bothered by the kasha. Min HaTorah, the carbon was invalid, and the guy who brought it was not Yotze, his chiyuv. So how could the Chacham make a din that mipnei takaras hamizbeach, that the guy is not going to be allowed to bring a new carbon chatos to actually get a kapara, that the guy should not get a kapara, a real kapara on a daraisa level? He doesn't have a kapara yet. The carbon didn't work. So how could the Rabbanan make it? The Rabbanan are able to make it that he shouldn't get a kapara. So Rashi writes, of course they can. The chum of the koch lakor davar min haTorah v'shevi al tasa. This is part of the ability of what the Rabbanan have the right to do. They can be oker davar min haTorah v'shevi al tasa. So all they're telling you to do is don't bring a karban. And you have to listen to that. The Rabbanan have the right to do that. The Rashba raises a kasha, though. He says, wait a second. It's not just that they're telling you don't bring a karban. They're telling you that this karban that was already brought, the Kohanim are allowed to eat. The Kohanim are going to eat this karban. The Kohanim are allowed to be makrav. They're allowed to be zorik the dam. They're allowed to do the avod of this karban. That's all kumvaseh. That's not shevi al taseh. Shevi al taseh says that the Bailum is not going to have to bring another one. I don't have a problem with that. What about the fact that the Kohen are going to be doing things with this korban? So therefore, the Rashba says that the hakrava works on a daraisa level using the mechanism of hefker bezin hefker. Meaning, why is it that it's not a valid korban chatas? Because the guy who's bringing it isn't the real owner, because it's stolen. The Rabbanan have the right to say, you are the real owner. Hefker bezin hefker. Once you are the real owner, it works midaraisa. And if it's working midaraisa, the Kohanim could do the avodah, the Kohanim could do the zrika, the Kohanim could do the achila, and that is the nature of that takana. Right? So that's all the opinion of, what was it, Ula. That Ula says on a daraisa level, the Kohanim does not work at all. But when it's lo no dalarabim, we're going to make it work so that the Kohanim won't be sad. Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, backwards, you got it backwards. Dvar Torah bein noda bein lo noda mechaperes. On a daraisa level, whether people knew about it or people did not know about it, it does work as a valid karban. My time, why should it work as a valid karban? Yeush kedi kani, because with as long as the nigzal has given up hope on it, even without any further shina rishos, the kinyan is going to work. The behema belongs to the gazlan. And therefore, it's not a problem. He's able to bring it as a korban. So Yeush Kedi is kani. V'matam amru eina mechaper, no de eina mechaperes. Why then did the Rabbanan say, yeah, but if everybody knows that it's stolen, it should not be mechaper? Shelo yomrum is be'achol chogzelos. Because that's terrible. What are people going to say? They're going to look at the mizbeach and they're going to say, look, the mizbeach is eating stolen korbanos. If everybody knows that it's stolen and we're going to allow that to be brought as a korban, everyone's saying that the mizbeach is eating stolen. What a chilul Hashem that would be. So these are the two opinions. We have Ula and we have Rav Yehuda. Ula holds that the default is that the korban is invalid, and the Chachamim said that if it's not no del Rabim, it is valid. And Rav Yehuda says that no, the default is, the din min haTorah is that it is valid. It's just that if it's no del Rabim, the Chamor Masakin, that it's not valid. So we're going to try to prove who's right. Three rayas. So right number one, Bishlam Ula. I understand very well, according to Ula, that the reason of the din is because of a chashash that the Kohanim are going to be sad. Hainu deketani chatas. I understand why you want to give the example of a korban chatas, because the Kohanim are the ones that eat the chatas, and they're going to be sad that they ate chulin that was shechted in the Azara, as opposed to, let's say, for example, a korban ola that nobody eats. So korban ola would be a terrible example, because there would be no need for a takana by a korban ola, because no one's going to be sad since no one's eating it. El Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yehuda, that the whole chashash is that the mizbeach is going to be consuming that which is stolen. Well, then rather than giving an example of a chatas, a better example of the mizbeach consuming something would be an ola, because it's true the mizbeach consumes some amount of the carbon chatas, but the mizbeach consumes the entirety of the carbon ola. So if you want to give an example of something that the mizbeach consumes that would be a chilul Hashem, use an ola as an example. Ma'ir yachatas, afilu ola nami. An ola would also be shaykh to that concern of people saying that the mizbeach is ochel gazelos. So says Gemara Lomi Bayakomer. The Mishnah is saying the din that's the greater chiddush and leaving out the lesser chiddush. That Lomi Bayaola de Kalili. It's more obvious that you're going to have a concern of a chilul Hashem when the mizbeach consumes a carbon ola, because the mizbeach is consuming the whole thing. So not only is that a chilul Hashem, el afilu chatas nami, even if all it is a chatas, the chelav damu de salik legabim mizbeach, where the mizbeach is only consuming the chelav and the dam, and the and all the meat of the carbon is eaten by Kohanim, afilu hachi gozer, still there were gozer, that people are shalom ruach gzelos, that people might say that the mizbeach is eating gzelos. L'chora, it's a little bit difficult to understand. I mean, why would it make a difference whether the mizbeach is eating a lot of gezel or a little bit of gezel, right? Meaning it's all a chilul Hashem. If the mizbeach is eating just the dam and the chelev of the gezel, or the mizbeach is eating all of it, it's still the same chilul Hashem. So the Rashba explains that no, because the chelev and the dam doesn't appear like a gezela so much, because even the original owner never would have been able to eat the chelev and dam. You're not allowed to eat chelev and dam. So it doesn't seem like the mizbeach is stealing the chelev and the dam from the bailim. It's a bigger chiddush to call that a gezela than the meat. The meat would have otherwise been eaten. So that is less of a chiddush to call that a gezela. That's how the Rashba explains. Okay, so that was raya number one and the rejection of raya number one. Raya number two. Tnan, it says in our Mishnah that Al Chatas Agzula Shalom and the Rav Mishi Mechaperes Mimnei Tikun HaMizbeach, that the Takana was that the stolen Chatas should be Mechaper because of Tikun HaMizbeach. Well, Bishlam Ula, that makes very good sense according to Ula, that the Chamor Mesakein, that if it was Lo Noda L'Rabim, it will be Mechaper. Nicha, then the Mishnah makes perfect sense, that the Chamim were Mesakein, that it will work Mipnei Tikun HaMizbeach. El Rav Yehuda, the current of Yehuda, that no, Mita Oraisa, it works. The Chamor Mesakein, that when it's Noda L'Rabim, that it doesn't work. So then we have it backwards. Ibcha Mibayalei. The Mishnah should have said the opposite. It should have said that the Chamor Mesakein, that when it's Noda L'Rabim, that it doesn't work. So it says, that's what the Mishnah meant to say. Lo Noda Mechaperes. If people don't know about it, then it's Mechaper, and that's really Midina Doraisa. Noda Eina Mechaperes Mimdei. But if it's known by the rabbin, then it's not mechaper because of tikkun hamizbeach. The mishnayos are often written cryptically, and therefore there's a diuk. It's like a chisuri mechsra of what you're supposed to add in over there. That the real chiddush is, and the real takana was that no da eina mechaperes. Okay, now our third raya, masiv rava. Rava says we have a mishnah maseches baba kama davayin dalid gonav. If a person steals an animal, vihikdish, and is makdish it as a carbon, v'acharkach tovuchumachar, and then he shachts it and sells it, meshalim tashlumi kefel. He pays kefel for the geneva, ve'inu meshalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. But he does not pay arba v'chamisha on the tvicha or the mechira, because at that time the behema belonged to hagdish, and there's no chiv tashlumi arba v'chamisha on the behema's hagdish. V'tani Allah, the Brisa says about that, b'chutz ki agavna, that if you shecht such an animal outside of the azara, anosh kares, you're going to be chayv kares for shchut echut. Well, v'yamit yesh kedilo kani, if you really hold like Ula, that yeyush alone does not make you the owner, kares mayavidite, then why would you be chayv kares for such a shchita? If the gazlan is not the owner of the behema, then the behema is not ro'i la'akrava. And the rule is, any behema that you could not use as a karban, you're also not chayv for shchut echut on such a behema. So by the very fact that you could, that you're chayv for shchutish chutz, that tells me you could use this as a carbon, which means yeush kedi kani, that you are the owner of it. So isn't that a raya that yeush kedi kani, that you are the owner, and therefore that it should work as a carbon? So Rav Shizvi explains karis midavrayim. When we say that you have karis for shchutish chutz and such an animal, it doesn't mean karis midarais, it means karis midrabanim. So achiku ale karis midavrayim miyika. So the bnei yeshiva all laughed at Rav Shizvi. What are you talking about? There's such a business. Such thing, karis midrabanan, karis is a daraisa concept. What are you talking about? Samalu Rava, Gavar Rabba Amar Milsalot Chukuala. If a Gavar Rabba says something, do not make fun of it, do not mock it. Kares sha'al yidei divrehen ba'asalo. This, what he means is, it's a chi of kares midaraisa that comes about through a takanas chachamim. Ukmur rabbanan b'rushusei k'yechi dil chayavala. What that means is that the rabbanan make it belong to the gazlan using the mechanism of hefker beis and hefker, and therefore it would be valid to use as a karban because the rabbanan made it belong to the gazlan, and therefore since it's valid to use as a karban, if you shecht it b'chutz, you're chayiv kares, real kares, kares midaraisa. But the whole reason you're chayiv kares midaraisa is because the rabbanan activated hefker beis and hefker to make the gazlan the owner of this animal. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on and says, Amarava, havade kami bayli, meaning what did you just tell me? You just told me that on a doraisa level, when there's just yeyush, you're not kona the animal, the gazlan doesn't own the animal, but the rabbanan were mesakein that he will be the owner of the animal. Starting when does he become the owner of the animal? So Rava wasn't sure. Havadei kami bayli ki ukmur rabbanan b'rishusei mishas geneva o mishas hakedisha. When the rabbanan were mesakein that the gazlan becomes the owner of the animal just with the yeyush of the original owner of the nigzal, is that from the very moment that he stole it that he becomes the owner, or from the moment that he was makdish it? So the main nafkamina says, what difference does it make when he became the owner? L'gizosel v'ladosel, all the sheer of wool or the vlados that it might have had in between the time that he stole it and the time that he made it hagdish. if it's already his lemafreya from the Shas HaGzela, so he's the owner of those gizos and vlados that predated his making it hegdish. But if he's only the owner from the time that he's being makdish it, so then he's going to have to return the gizos and the vlados that came about up until that time. So he wasn't sure what's the halacha. So hado amarava mistavra mishas hekdesha shlo yechote niskar. Probably we want the gazlan to benefit as little as possible. So probably he only becomes the owner from the Shas Hekdesha, so that he will have to return the Gizos and the Vlados that happened in between. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah in the middle of Nun Hayam and Beis. During the Bayis Sheni, a little bit of background over here, during the period of Bayis Sheni, when the Romans conquered Eretz Yisrael, there goes a shmad in Yehuda and Yerushalayim, because they had a mesorah. Tosfos alludes to this over here. They had a mesorah in their tradition that Yehuda is the one that killed Esav. Because it says in the pasuk in the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, Yehuda atu yoducha achecha yodcha ba'oref oivecha. And the Sefri darshins in parts of Zos HaBracha, Vizos Yehuda v'yomer yodav rav lo. Now yodav rav lo refers to the moment that Yehuda killed Esav. Now Tosfos points out, you might be wondering, it wasn't that long ago that we learned Masechta Sota. It was just a couple of months ago we were learning Sota Daf Yud Gimel, and in Sota Daf Yud Gimel it tells us about Esav's death and how Esav died and who killed Esav, and it was Chushim ben Dan who killed Esav. They were trying to bury Esav and trying to bury Yaakov rather, and Esav came and made a stink and said, "I really belong here. Yaakov doesn't belong here." And they had to go back to Mitzrayim. They sent Naftali Ayala Shlucha back to Mitzrayim to get the deed to Ma'aris HaMachpelah. And while that was going on, Chushim ben Dan, who was deaf, said, what is going on over here? Why are we not burying my grandfather? And they said, oh, Esav's making a stink. And Chushim ben Dan whacked Esav on the head. His eyes popped out. And, right, that was, that we learned that whole story. It makes such an impression, that story. And now the Gemara is telling us that it was Yehuda, that they had a tradition that Yehuda was the one that killed Esav. So Tosa says, Chushim whacked him, gave him a good zetz, but he didn't finish him off. So the knockout punch came from Yehuda. It must have been that it was Zev Zegorim, that Chushim was a Chushim ben Dan. It's related to this past week's parsha. Just yesterday we read Parshas Pinchas. So there's a census of the Jewish people. So the Chafetz Chaim makes a famous ha'ara, beautiful ha'ara, that if you look at the numbers of Shevet Dan, that it's the biggest Shevet, and Shevet Binyamin is one of the smaller Shvatim. So Chafetz Chaim has that beautiful ha'ara, that how many children did Binyamin have, and how many children did Dan have? Binyamin had 10 sons, and Dan had one disabled child. And you would imagine, the way Rabbi Razner says it over, he said in Parsha Shir here in Camp Keli, he said, if you could imagine like the family get-togethers, you know, when Yaakov Avinu was having a Hanukkah party, right? So there's Binyamin with his 10 children, he's a success in life, he's got, and poor little Dan is trying to take care of his child with a disability. And look how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. What can come from one disabled child, that it outnumbers by double, pretty much, almost double, what 10 children of Binyamin were able to produce. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I remember at the Shalom Zachar that Eli Portel made for his son, when his son was born. If you know Eli Portel, you understand why the godless of this. He said over this Chavetz Chaim, he said, you never know what can come from one person with a disability. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who gets to have a large family that makes an impact. Anyway, so that's the history over here. So Nat Kufa, there were people who wanted to save their lives because Goyim were killing them, so they would give their karka to bribe the Goyim not to kill them. So a Goy who would take such karka is called a sikrikon, because the Jew would say to the Goy, Yisa karka zu v'hanicheni, so take this karka and leave me alone. So our Mishnah is going to discuss, if you go and buy karka from a sikrikon, are you the real owner of that karka? He only took it as a bribe from a Jew not to get killed. So lo hayo sikrikon be Yehuda. beharugei melchama, from during the tekufa where the melchama of Titus against Yehuda and Yerushalayim was going on, there was no sikrikon. Sounds like from the simple reading of the Mishnah was that there was no problem of sikrikon. The Gemara is going to re-translate this Mishnah. Meharugei melchama veilach, once there was no longer gayim who were killing Jewish people, so then yeshba sikrikon. Then there was sikrikon. So the Gemara is going to ask, that seems backwards. Right, I would think the sikrikon is happening when there's a melchama and they're threatening to kill us. And when they're not threatening to kill us anymore, then there's no more sikrikon. So the Gemara is going to explain that line. Ketzad, so the Mishnah discusses, when there is sikrikon, what exactly was the din? Lokach mi sikrikon v'chaz v'lokach mi balabayis. If you paid the sikrikon for the land, and then you went back to the original owner and you bought the land from him, mecha batal, then it's not a valid mekach, because of course the balabayis is going to sell you the land. He doesn't want to upset the sikrikon, but he's not really interested in giving you the land. But mi balabayis, if you first go to the balabayis and buy the land from him and he agrees, and then v'chaz v'lokach mi sikrikon, and then you go buy it from the sikrikon, then mecha kayim, then the mekach is going to be kayim. Similarly, if you have karka, if you buy a field from a husband, lakach mina ish, that you buy from a husband, v'chaz v'lakach mina ish, but it's the woman's field, and then you go and buy it from the woman, so that she shouldn't be allowed to collect that field as part of her ksuba. Normally, kol nechsay achran l'ksuba seich, all the nechasim are achray to the ksuba. So it's not really the woman's field, but it's a field that is designated toward paying the woman's ksuba. So by buying it from her, you're making it that she cannot collect her ksuba from it. So if you first bought it from the husband, then from the wife, mecha batel. It's not a valid mekach, because we assume the wife doesn't really want to allow you to buy it. It just doesn't want to upset her husband. But mineisha, but if you first went to the woman, v'chazav lakach minish, and then you went to the man, mecha kayim, then it is a binding sale. So the Mishnah goes back to the din of sikriko now and tells us that when it says that if you bought from the sikriko and it's mekach batel, zo mishna rishona. That's what they said initially, that's what the Tanaim initially held. But Beis Din Shel Achareihem, a later Beis Din came along in later periods of Tanaim, and they saw that what's the result of this halacha? If every time you buy land from the Sikrikon, you are not the owner of it, no one's ever going to buy the land from the Sikrikon, and the Sikrikon is going to stay with that land forever. So it's a huge loss. So Amnu, so they said, Halokech mi Sikrikon, nosin lebailam revia. So they changed the din, and they said, you know what? If you buy land from the Sikrikon, you will become the owner. But you have to pay one quarter of the value of the karka to the original bailim, and then you become the owner. But aim aside, beizman shein biyadon nikach. But you'll only become the owner if the bailim doesn't have any money to reimburse you and to buy that karka from the sikrikon. And then we say, if someone else other than the bailim bought it, you have to let the bailim pay you for it. Aval yesh biyadon nikach. If the bailim has money and they want to buy that karka, hein kod min lekal adam. They come before anybody else, so they can pay you the money that you paid the sikrikon and get their karka right back. So that was the Mishnah Achrona. So the Mishnah Achrona says, if you buy land from the sikrikon, you just need to give a quarter of the value to the balabayis. If the balabayis has money to reimburse you for what you paid the sikrikon, then he can buy it off of you. Rebbe Hoshev Beis Din v'nimnu. Rebbe set up a Beis Din and a paskin based on the based on a vote. Nimnu means they took a vote and it was a rove. She'im shasa b'fnei sikrikon she'im asa chodesh, that once the sikrikon has had it for 12 months, then the original bailim no longer has a din kadima to be able to buy it first. Kalakodim likach zacha, whoever wants to buy from the sikrikon can do so, avnosin the bailim revia, so long as you pay the bailim 25% of the purchase price. So now the Gemara goes back to the very first line of the Mishnah. So we said that there was no sikrikon during the times where the goyim were killing us. It's only when they weren't killing us, that's where there was sikrikon. So says the Gemara, that's backwards. Hashtaba Harugei HaMelchama lo yava sikrikon. If there weren't goyim killing us during the times of Harugei HaMelchama, may Harugei HaMelchama ve'elach yesh basikrikon. After they stopped killing us, now all of a sudden there was sikrikon? So that doesn't make sense. Some Rabbi Yehuda says, no. When we said that there was no sikrikon during the times of Harugei HaMelchama, it means lo danu ba din sikrikon ka'amar. It means that while they were killing us, there was no din sikrikon, meaning the din of sikrikon is that if you buy buy from them, the sale is batel. The halacha is that if you buy from a sikrikon during the times that they're killing us, then the mekach is valid. It's only when they weren't killing us anymore that the din sikrikon, that your purchase is void, is going to be operative. Why? Why would that be the case? So the Gemara is about to explain that if when the original Bailum gave it over to the sikrikon, he thought that he will never ever get it back, so then he's given up on it, and therefore you're allowed to buy it from the sikrikon, and you become the owner. But if his life is not at stake, and he's not really gomer das to really give it to the sikrikon, then when you buy it from the sikrikon, you have to contend with the original Bailum. The mekach is going to be batel. The Amar Avasi, Shalosh Gzeros Gazu, that Titus and the Romans made three gzeros at three different kufos. Gzeros HaKamaisa, the original gzero was Kol Delo Katil, anyone who sees a Jew and doesn't kill that Jew, Liktaluhu, it was a capital offense to not kill a Jew. Mitziasa, then at a later point, called the Kata Lysi Abazuze. Anyone who does kill a Jew will be rewarded handsomely with some money. Then Basraisa, and then in a later Tkufa, called the Kata Liktaluhu. They became more moral, and any Roman that killed a Jew would be Chayiv Misa for murder. So Hilkach, Kamaisa Mitziasa, in the first two Tkufos, where they were encouraging the killing of Jews, Kevin Dekatli, since they were mamish killing Jews and the Jewish blood was cheap, Agavunse Gamar Makni. We assumed that any Jew that was giving up his field to the Sikrikon was having a full Gemir Stas to give it up so that he could save his life. And therefore, when you go and you buy from the Sikrikon, you don't have to deal with the original owner anymore. But Basraisa, in that last Kufa where they weren't killing Jews anymore, so the Jew wasn't really giving his land to the Sikrikon. Amri, so they said, Ha'idna Lishkol, any Jew who gave his land to the Sikrikon was saying, right now I'll give him my karka, lamachar tavana lebedina, but eventually I'll be able to get it back from him because I'll take him to a din. I'll sue him in court and I'll get it back from him. And therefore, if you buy from the sikrikon, you do have to deal with the original owner, the original Jewish owner. Okay, that brings us all the way to the Churban Agarata, which Be'ezus Hashem we're going to start tomorrow. The Kamtza, Bar Kamtza, and all of that stuff, some very famous Gemaras coming up. Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow, same time. I apologize about being so inconsistent last week, but this week, hope to be here every day. Okay. Have a good evening, everyone.